Monday, day two before Shabbat, Parasha Beshalach, when he sent. Exodus 14.
The Red Sea Crossing.
Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, that they turn back and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, before Baal Zephon. You shall encamp opposite it by the sea. Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will follow after them, and I will get honor over Pharaoh, and over all his armies, and the Egyptians shall know that I am Yahweh." They did so. It was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was changed towards the people, and they said, "What is this we have done, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" He prepared his chariot, and took his army with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over all of them. Yahweh hardened the heart of Pharaoh king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, for the children of Israel went out with a high hand. The Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea, beside Pihahiroth, before Baal Zephon. When Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they were very afraid. The children of Israel cried out to Yahweh. They said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you treated us this way, to bring us out of Egypt? Isn't this the word that was spoke to you in Egypt, saying, 'Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it were better for us to serve the Egyptians, than that we should die in the wilderness." Moses said to the people, "Don't be afraid. Stand still, and see the salvation of Yahweh, which he will work for you today, for the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall never see them again. Yahweh will fight for you, and you shall be still." Yahweh said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Speak to the children of Israel, that they go forward. Lift up your rod, and stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go into the midst of the sea in dry ground. I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall go in after them, and I will get myself honor over Pharaoh, and over all his armies, over his chariots, and over his horsemen. The Egyptians shall know that I am Yahweh, when I have gotten myself honor over Pharaoh, over his chariots, and over his horsemen." The angel of Elohim, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them, and stood behind them. It came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel, and there was the cloud and the darkness, yet gave it light by night, and the one didn't come near the other all the night. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and Yahweh caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all the night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. The children of Israel went into the midst of the sea in the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand, and on their left. The Egyptians pursued, and went in after them into the midst of the sea, all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. It happened in the morning watch, that Yahweh looked out on the Egyptian army through the pillar of fire and of cloud, and confused the Egyptian army. He took off their chariot wheels, and they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let's flee from the face of Israel, for Yahweh fights for them against the Egyptians." Yahweh said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come again on the Egyptians, on their chariots, and on their horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. Yahweh overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. The waters returned, and covered the chariots and the horsemen, even all Pharaoh's army that went in after them into the sea. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand, and on their left. Thus Yahweh saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work which Yahweh did to the Egyptians, and the people feared Yahweh, and they believed in Yahweh, and in his servant Moses. Acts 19.
Paul at Ephesus.
It happened that, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus, and found certain disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the set-apart Holy Spirit when you believed?" They said to him, "No, we haven't even heard that there is a set apart Holy Spirit." He said, "Into what then were you immersed?" They said, "Into John's immersion." Paul said, "John indeed immersed with the immersion of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe in the one who would come after him, that is, in Yeshua." When they heard this, they were immersed in the name of Adonai Yeshua. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the set apart Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with other languages and prophesied. They were about 12 men in all. He entered into the synagogue, and spoke boldly for a period of 3 months, reasoning and persuading about the things concerning the kingdom of Elohim. But when some were hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them, and separated the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all those who lived in Asia heard the word of Adonai Yeshua, both Jews and Greeks.
Miracles glorify Messiah.
Elohim worked special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were carried away from his body to the sick, and the evil spirits went out. But some of the itinerant Jews, exorcists, took on themselves to invoke over those who had the evil spirits the name of Adonai Yeshua, saying, "We adjure you by Yeshua whom Paul preaches." There were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did this. The evil spirit answered, "Yeshua I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" The man in whom the evil spirit was leapt on them, and overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This became known to all, both Jews and Greeks, who lived at Ephesus. Fear fell on them all, and the name of Adonai Yeshua was magnified. Many also of those who had belief came, confessing, and declaring their deeds. Many of those who practiced magical arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. They counted their prize, and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of Adonai was growing and becoming mighty.
The riot at Ephesus.
Now after these things had ended, Paul determined in the spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, "After I have been there, I must also see Rome." Having sent into Macedonia 2 of those who served him, Timothy and Erastus, he himself stayed in Asia for a while. About that time there arose no small stir concerning the way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought no little business to the craftsmen, whom he gathered together, with the workmen of like occupation, and said, "Sirs, you know that by this business we have our wealth. You see and hear, that not at Ephesus alone, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are no idol gods, that are made with hands. Not only is there danger that this our trade come into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be counted as nothing, and her majesty destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worships." When they heard this they were filled with anger, and cried out, saying, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." The whole city was filled with confusion, and they rushed with one accord into the theater, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel. When Paul wanted to enter into the people, the disciples didn't allow him. Certain also of the Asiarchs, being his friends, sent to him and begged him not to venture into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing, and some another, for the assembly was in confusion. Most of them didn't know why they had come together. They brought Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. Alexander beckoned with his hand, and would have made a defense to the people. But when they perceived that he was a Jew, all with one voice for a time of about 2 hours cried out, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." When the town clerk had quieted the multitude, he said, "You men of Ephesus, what man is there who doesn't know that the city of the Ephesians is temple keeper of the great goddess Artemis, and of the image which fell down from Zeus? Seeing then that these things can't be denied, you ought to be quiet, and to do nothing rash. For you have brought these men here, who are neither robbers of temples nor blasphemers of your goddess. If therefore Demetrius and the craftsmen who are with him have a matter against anyone, the courts are open, and there are proconsuls. Let them press charges against one another. But if you seek anything about other matters, it will be settled in the regular assembly. For indeed we are in danger of being accused concerning this day's riot, there being no cause. Concerning it, we wouldn't be able to give an account of this commotion." When he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. End of today's Torah and related scriptures. Praise Yah. HNV version, in the public domain.